Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to How We Scaled. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and I am truly excited to speak with our guest that you're about to hear, Justin Nazari. And I know the product that he has is something I'm really interested in learning more about. And I'm sure as you listeners, you have podcasts, you're doing webinars, and you have all this great content. What do you do with it? Justin, welcome to the show and tell our audience a little bit more about what you do.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff. Yeah, you know, I've similar to you, I love podcasts, and I've run one for about 4 years. And one of the things I realized is that they are such an exceptional content marketing engine. And it actually led me to start my company, Captivate.ai. And our claim to fame is that we can take a single podcast episode and turn it into 3 months of social media content. So the way that we work is you just log into our platform, you upload a podcast, it could be a webinar, it can be an event, and our team finds the best pieces of that interview. We convert it into whatever content you want. Usually that's videos for Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and LinkedIn and Facebook and graphics. And we have a platform that organizes all of it. So you can easily post it. You can find the content you're looking for. You can search for it. And we have analytics to measure and see how each piece of content is performing. And that's what helps our system get smarter, because we're just building more and more content that your community is responding to. So that's a quick overview of what I do at Captivate.ai.
Wow, that is awesome. So basically, I could take this recording and podcast, provide it to you, and you'll come up with slices and dices or sections of recording and chop it, so to speak, cut it down into a bite-sized nuggets for me to be able to put it back out on my social media.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that you give me access to the video, because we'll do it for you for free. And you know, one of the things that I'll add is that you know, most of our clients, obviously, their company is taking this content and publishing it on their social channels. But one of the big victories that we found is that if the guest takes that content and shares it as well. So we have a lot of features that increase the chances that the guest will share a video with their audience, because then that's exposure to a completely different audience. And so that's one of the things that we really optimize for in our platform too.
Wow, that is just awesome. What made you get into doing something like this?
So I this is my second company that I started. The first one I started was called Storybox, and it was also a marketing technology company. And over the 8 years that I ran Storybox, I worked with hundreds and even thousands of different marketers. And one of the things that stood out to me is anyone who either runs a small company or anyone who's in marketing, they have such a tough job, because they need to post to not just one social channel. They've got to post to 4, 5, 6 different social channels. And usually they need to be posting every single day of the week. And that's a big ask when you are tasked with coming up with what to say on all of those social channels and creating content. So my clients would be creating infographics and white papers, and they'd be posting and trying to figure out what to talk about. And so that was one thing that really stuck with me from my time at Storybox. And then when I started to podcast, the light bulb went off, and I thought, man, no one wants to sit down and write a blog post. But most people are like me and you, Jeff, where we love to talk to other people. We don't have to think about it. We may often say things that surprise ourselves. We may often come up with new ideas. And so I thought that's such a great way that almost anyone on the planet could come up with content, is just having podcast conversations and then using that to create all of this, fill in that vacuum for social media content with a starting point of a podcast.
That sounds really fantastic. I know one of the questions I hear when I talk to other entrepreneurs or when I'm working with them as well is, Justin, how often do you actually recommend people to do posts? Every day, three times a week? What would be your guidance to the listeners?
So it depends on the social channel. We actually put together, a lot of our clients focus on LinkedIn. So what we did as a team is we looked at, LinkedIn has these things called top voices. These are kind of the most successful people on LinkedIn. And so we looked at 12 months of their posting behavior. And we looked at how often they post, what sort of content they post, how long are their posts, all sorts of things. And one of the things that we found was that they post on average 5.2 times per week. So for LinkedIn, they're posting every single weekday. Now, that's not always feasible. And I feel like, so I'm a small business and I've recently hired someone and their job is to post every single day of the week. But I, up until then, I was unable to do that. And so when we work with companies that are 20 or 30 or 40 employees, it's easier to tell them, yeah, you should post every day on LinkedIn. You should post every day on Instagram. You should post multiple times a day on Twitter. But if you're listening to this and you're a solopreneur or you're, a 2-3-4 person company, that may not be feasible. And you may have to prioritize sales over that. You may have to prioritize over other things. So I'm not trying to pitch this as the cure-all for everyone, but certainly if you're at a certain scale, daily is a great way. Because, one last thing I'll say on this is what we're evangelizing is top of mind marketing. And by that, I mean, if you're hearing this podcast today, you may not be ready to work with Captivate. You may be ready 6 months from now, but I want to make sure that 6 months from now, I'm top of mind. And a great way to do that is if I'm consistently posting on LinkedIn, everyone in my network starts to associate me as the marketing guy. They start to associate me as the podcast guy, so that 6 months from now, when they or a friend of theirs needs to use our technology, I'm on the tip of their tongue. And the only way to do that is if I'm consistently raising awareness that that's what my focus is.
That's unbelievable. So you do the edits to the recordings, and then I have to do my postings to my own personal LinkedIn page or business page. And same thing for Facebook. You don't actually do the posts, correct?
Most of our clients do that themselves. For some of our clients, we do post on their behalf. A lot of our clients, they really want to get the messaging right. And so we can do it either way. But if someone is looking for an all-in-one, we can actually post on your behalf as well.
That's great. I'm sometimes always rather have someone else do it because they're better at it. But some people prefer doing it on their own. So it's great that you have both options.
Yep. Yeah. I have someone else doing it for me.
Yeah. It comes down to obviously your personal time of doing it versus paying someone else to go do. Yeah. So Justin, our name of our podcast is How We Scale. So can you share with the listeners your little journey and what you've done in order to grow your business where you are today?
Yeah. Fortunately for my first company, Storybox, we raised $3 million in funding and went through the whole startup roller coaster of growth and shrinkage multiple times. And so I learned a couple of tricks in doing that I'm applying to Captivate to hopefully grow much faster without any sort of outside investment. And, when I first started Captivate, which was only, last year, so very recently, a lot of what led to my initial scaling growth was conversations with friends and people in my network. And so at a starting point, I didn't really know who my customer would be. So I talked to a friend of mine who ran a B2C company and told him about what I was doing and, you know, just honestly asked if it's something that his company would use, and it wasn't, but he knew three people who were in different types of businesses that would use this. And so he made that introduction and one of them became a customer. So a lot of the early days was just lots of conversations without any attachment to the outcome. I wasn't really fixated on a sale. It was all about growing and learning. From there, the next stage in our growth was what I would consider mass outreach with an emphasis on data over sales. And so I started to use sales automation tools to try to refine my hypothesis around who our ideal customer persona is. So I kind of live and breathe on LinkedIn. I always think in terms of LinkedIn categories. So, you know, LinkedIn would say, is it a 2 to 10 person company, an 11 to 50 person company, a 51 to 200 person company? And they have all sorts of different industries. So what I started to do is email hundreds and hundreds of people to see, you know, succinctly, hey, this is what we do. Would you want to use this? What that allowed me to do is, yes, I started to gain customers slowly, but more importantly, I could read the tea leaves to say, okay, where might this idea fit? And I'll make this up, but for instance, it might say like, wow, I'm noticing a trend that companies that are 51 to 200 employees are responding more frequently. Maybe that's something I should double click on. Maybe I should go deeper on that. Or I'm starting to realize that computer software companies are responding, or companies that are in San Francisco are responding. And so if you do it appropriately where you've got this data, yes, it's great to get the sales, but it's much more important to understand what the customer looks like. And I love this approach because it's something that listeners can do literally in a week. You could send out 1,000 emails, and if you're tracking it properly, you can tell from open rates and response rates. Yes, it's still more art than science, but you can start to get a sense of like who is responding to this messaging. And maybe based on that, maybe you don't do sales at all. Maybe it is more about marketing or events or something like that, but you can start to get some anecdotal evidence of who you're selling to and then double down on how to go after them more.
Wow, that's great advice.
Yep. So do you focus on a particular niche within an industry, or are you open to anyone?
We're still open to anyone. And I'll say that there's kind of three flavors that we see. We see companies that have a podcast or want to do a podcast. We also produce podcasts. We have companies that have webinars or want to do webinars. And then we work with companies that do events and want to further the impact of their events. So any company that does a podcast, webinar, or event is a great fit as a starting point. But we do see a little bit more bias towards B2B companies over B2C companies. We do see a little bit more traction with companies that have at least 20 employees. And that's kind of the general starting point. But we're still early enough that we learn from every client we have, and we can deliver value to every type of company. So we're willing to work with really anyone.
So if you took an hour, for example, of a Zoom type of, whatever you want to call it, training, coaching, information, typically what would that translate into from a number of sound bites or that would cover a company?
So our general rule of thumb is that for any 20 to 60, or let's call it 30 to 60 minute video, right, we can extract 20 to 30 short form snackable videos and graphics. We have clients that want less than that, and we have clients that want more than that, but that's usually a good starting point. And one thing I'll highlight is that once you start doing that, the next problem is just keeping track of all of this, because there becomes so much content. And that's really where our technology, our dashboard, comes in handy, because you can filter based off of Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You can filter based on graphics and audiograms and videos. You can see which videos people have posted and which ones haven't. And so we have a lot of tools that make it easier for you to sift through all of this different content.
Sounds great. How have you seen technology develop for your business over the past couple of years? There's so much more out there. How has you taken advantage, and what's new that you're using that folks might want to even consider to do in their own business?
I think one of the, this is tough for me to learn, but I feel like in building a business in 2021, you have to be really laser focused on the problem you're solving. And you have to stay in your swim lane, because there's so many great technologies that focus on very specific problems. So I use that as a guidance for building my own company. Let me make sure that I'm really the best at the very niche thing that I do. And let's not try and be too broad, because then I likely won't solve the problem well. But for me, it also allows me to leverage great tools to kind of expedite what I'm doing. So for example, reply.io is a tool that I really like that allows me to automate my sales process. And so for example, when I email someone, it allows me to check back in a week later and a week later. And yes, that can be annoying, but it's still surprising to me the number of people who respond on a second or third time, because we're all busy and sometimes we're interested and we just forget to respond. So I like reply.io for that. I think that Upwork is great. You know, it's a great way to find, you know, I literally just posted a job because I'm realizing I've been in business as an entrepreneur for over 10 years. I'm not the best with budgeting and things like that. And so I just thought, let me find an expert on Upwork who can sit down with me for an hour and help me up my skills from a budgeting standpoint. And I think that, you know, I've done that with lawyers. I've done that with lots of different people. And again, it's finding someone with a very specific skill set, and for whatever price per hour, I can get really high quality advice and solve a problem and move forward and get stronger in my own skill set. So I'm a big fan of Upwork as a marketplace for finding people with really specialized skills. I'm trying to think of other tools that I use. Rocket Reach is great. You know, I have a Chrome extension for Rocket Reach. And as I'm looking at people on LinkedIn, I see, oh, this is a person I want to talk to. And I want to spend a really specific email because I really want to talk to this individual. Rocket Reach is really helpful in me finding their contact information so I can email them.
Wow. Some great, great new products and apps. We don't call them apps that are out there. Kaylee, I haven't heard of either. So it's always great to, that's why I love doing these podcasts, because you always, obviously, A, you meet new people. But B, you learn so much more about some technologies out there that, you know, most of us use what we have. Unless you talk to somebody else, then you learn. So it's always that constant willingness to learn is key in also growing your business, as I would imagine.
You know, and one last thing that makes, I literally had a call today because I'm looking at, you know, there's different groups, Vistage and EO and Tab, and I'm looking at joining kind of a peer advisory group of other CEOs and entrepreneurs, because it helps me continue to learn. It helps me continue to grow. And I feel like as an entrepreneur, that's really the key for me scaling. I need to stay hungry. I need to continue to consume business books. I need to continue to learn from other entrepreneurs and CEOs. The moment I stop learning is the moment I stop scaling.
Yeah, that's so true. So Justin, if I was an investor in your company, what might I be really excited about that you're doing?
You'd probably be most excited that I don't want to talk to investors. I raised $3 million for my first company, and my intention with this one is to never raise a cent of outside investment. But that's, you know, a cheeky answer. I guess the biggest thing is that I feel like the podcast industry is absolutely exploding on a consumer and business level. And we are riding that wave, but we're not relegated just to podcasts. We focus on companies in the event space and keynote speakers and webinars So there's so many applications of our technology, and all of them are explosively growing, but most of all podcasts. So I think that's one thing that they'd be excited about, is that we're riding that wave of growth and supporting companies who are investing in podcasts.
That is so true. What's the most outdated advice that you hear that others are providing to their clients or prospects?
This is maybe more towards entrepreneurs, but I feel like, you know, as someone who spends a lot of time on social media because of Captivate.ai, there is a prevailing message still around hustling, around working 20 hours a day. And I just feel like it is such toxic, outdated, misleading advice. Yeah. The best ideas I've had for my company have been on a Saturday night, watching TV, going for a bike ride, chasing after my son. You know, the best ideas come when our brain is regenerating. And I have found for myself that when I'm quote unquote grinding, when I'm quote unquote hustling, so little of what I'm doing actually moves the business forward. When I am really prioritized and really focused on the one, two, or three things that matter, what I find is that the 97 things that I don't get to, the next week they're irrelevant. Those 97 things that seemed like they were really important, they wouldn't have made a difference had I achieved them, other than feeling like I'm hustling. And so I feel like people who are championing this message of get up at 4 a.m., work harder, work more, they're really misleading their audience, because I think that that is actually detrimental advice to keeping people. You know, I love the phrase, happy cows produce good milk. When I'm happy and healthy and I have time with my family and I'm exercising and I'm meditating, I do my best work, and it doesn't come from 20 hours in the office. That may be necessary at times, but it's definitely not necessary for the long haul.
Wow. It's so true. I think it's so relevant in today's world, where people think, even from a prioritization perspective, you know, your time management, that you've developed your skill set in order to keep away from that, those things that drag you down or take you away, when a lot of it will just resolve itself in a few days by not spending those 10 minutes on there, is something you've obviously have mastered. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you. Certainly haven't mastered it, but it's definitely my intention to get better at it, because it's tough for me too. It's tough to prioritize like that.
But you kind of touch upon a few things that I was going about my next question in your reply to me. But what do you like to do when you're not working? Obviously you have a son, you do bike riding, you meditate. What else?
Yeah. You know, the biggest things right now, running. I set a goal to run my first ultra marathon this year. And so I just did my third marathon a couple of weeks ago. And I really enjoy it. It's just nice to be outside in the sun around people. And more I'm trying to run without headphones and just kind of having time with my brain to just settle. A second one is, I really like men's groups. It's kind of like a personal development, tool that I use, but it's just kind of, two different groups that I'm a part of that we meet weekly or every other week. And we just kind of share what's going on in our lives and point out blind spots and support each other and just kind of really be authentic in a world where I feel like we all project on social media that everything's going great. And then when you let down the curtain, you realize everyone's struggling with something. Everyone's got something that they're challenged with. And I find it really connecting just to be able to have these honest conversations with other men about whatever's going well or not well in their life. It just feels really nourishing to have those sorts of conversations. So those are two things right now.
That is fantastic. So Justin, where and how can people find you if they really want to take advantage of learning more about your products, about Captivate?
So the best one is at captivate.ai. If you click on request a demo, that still goes directly to me. So captivate.ai. And then actually email is easy too, justin@captivate.ai. I'm pretty responsive on email. And you can find me on LinkedIn. It might be harder to spell my name, but last name is N-A-S-S-I-R-I. So any of those three would work.
That's fantastic. So Justin, I truly enjoyed our conversation. I learned a lot. about what you do and some new tools. It's always great to meet like this. So thank you for being on our show.
Totally. Yeah, thank you for having me.
So this is Jeff Brandeis from How We Scaled. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. Check back on the website in a few more days, and we will have another episode of How We Scale. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.